It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Friday, exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash? Call Celino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way.
Just give kudos to the O-line. You know, they opened up lanes for us to run today. We did our job.
It looked like, you know, our D-line, they was rushing real good. Got him off the spot, and he just threw it away. It looked like he was trying to throw it away, and, you know, I was just running to the ball and caught it and took it to the crib.
Division win is the best thing. That's the easiest way to get to the playoffs. Our objective every year, win the division, and then we'll finish the rest.
It's a fun one to play at. Our fans travel very well. They travel very well here. And, you know, we appreciate that. We feed off the energy that they give us, so thank you, Bills Mafia.
Allen wide open to Cook in the left flat, racing to the end zone. Is he in? Yes, he is. The Cook has found the kitchen. Thompson back to pass, and he's sacked. Von Miller beat the right tackle badly. Has to heave it, and it's intercepted. Coming the other way, and going for six is Jamarcus Ingram.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Two picks for Ingram and a pick six. Maybe a defensive player of the week in the AFC. Just like we all had it drawn up. Two straight AFC defensive player of the week awards for the Bills. If they get that, of course. Jeremy and Joe, happy Victory Friday. It is Football Friday here on WGR, brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash? Call Celino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, start your game day the Crosby's way. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Watching the highlights now on ESPN, seeing Tua walk off. We're getting the Tua concussion montage on ESPN right now.
They had that ready to go on Amazon last
night, they did. Yes, they did. I thought the same thing.
It's like, call for, hey, guys, we got the Tua concussion package ready to go to show after the break. And like, oh, yeah, we got it. Yeah, unless they are that good at finding clips like within 2 minutes.
I feel like with him, it's probably been canned for a while. You've got it ready. It's like an obit for someone that's old. Not to make light of it, but all year last year, the story was if Tua can avoid concussions and stay healthy. And he did. He stayed healthy the whole year.
Right.
And here we are in week two. And
he can't put his head down. He can't put his head down.
No, it's just an incredible mistake for him to have done that. I mean, it's a violent game. And, you know, the other ones, he's pushed from behind. He didn't fall the right way. Or
the Bengal guy, it's just he's
whipped to the ground.
Yeah.
This is he initiates contact with a player in the open field. And, you know, they have rules in place to not do that. So you wonder what the plan is for him, what he will want to do. You had said he considered retiring before. Now that he's got the money, he doesn't have to worry about it the same way. Like, oh, if I retire, how much am I leaving on the table? Now it's just no.
All right.
$90 million.
And if you're the Dolphins, I don't know. Would this have played into their, were they even hesitant? Was it just negotiation? Them committing to him long-term as their quarterback? Because there was an element of, hey, before last year, you got to prove you could stay healthy. Or you can't be the long-term quarterback of a franchise and get a giant contract. And then the Dolphins did commit to him. And, man, if he is, and I think, how can you not believe that he is going to be thinking about his future and maybe walking away? The Dolphins, like, it was the risk, I guess, of where you were. You had a quarterback with an injury history like that. You were always going to be a greater risk of this happening than any other team. Is you could be one bad hit away because of his background, of his history with those injuries, that it could all be over like that.
It's tough.
And then you're starting over. Then you're back to, maybe you're back to Tannehill for at least the rest of this year. But I feel like, don't you feel like right now they are cooked?
The team?
Yeah, like I don't want to make assumptions on Tua, but the idea that he would be back
when?
Right. In the next couple weeks or something, like, I don't know, man. It just, well, the protocols, feels scary to think about that.
Right. Who knows? If it's dealt with the right way, the protocols, I mean, these guys come back a lot. And until we had all this information and concussion protocols, I'm sure there are guys that played 10 years ago, 20 years ago, that had five concussions and come back in 6 days and not think about it.
He missed the Bills playoff game. Was it the concussion from that Bengal hit, or was it another one?
It might have been the Green Bay hit. He got hit by the Packers.
Yes, you're right. That's the one.
That's why he missed the playoff game.
Okay.
803-0550. Game balls to whoever you want. You can hand them out with us And we're going a lot of the defensive coaching staff and defensive players here. Just an incredible effort. A couple of turnovers, three turnovers in the game. Short fields for the Bills to work with.
Mm-hmm. Which is why their yardage total was pretty small. Yeah. It was only like 250-ish.
Yeah. Allen didn't throw that much. You know, Shakir got five catches. How many completions did he have, Allen? I think it was
13.
Right. So,
yeah. Yeah, he was 13 of 19.
That's a big target share.
It's more than a third for Shakir.
It's 25% target share because he was five. By the way,
his routes were not really, like, Kincaid gets four catches on the game. Every single one of them was designed to get him the ball. Like, right out, like, this is a Kincaid play.
Yeah.
This is getting him involved in the action. Shakir, maybe one of Shakir's was. Otherwise, Shakir's catches were Allen drops back to pass. He has protection. All right, let me look around. Who's got any room? Who am I trusting here? Who's got a little bit of separation? And every single time he threw it, the ball came out of his hands, it was going to Khalil Shakir.
I thought, especially the one over the middle, where Shakir caught it between two guys. Might have been the way where Poyer blasts him.
Oh, that throw was incredible.
I thought, that's Diggs. In that, you could say a lot of things about everybody eats, but at the end of the day, the quarterback is going to say, where's my guy?
Yeah.
And right now, Shakir is that. Shakir and Kincaid, 9 catches on 9 targets. The efficiency of those two, it's still rolling.
Shakir had 3 catches on 3 targets last year. I should look, like, because last year, he had maybe historically high catch percentage.
Yes.
And this year he started off 100%.
He did against the Dolphins. It's 5 for 5.
Yeah. He's 8 for 8 on the year. 8 targets, 8 catches through 2 games. And last year he was 45 targets, 39 catches.
And don't you expect...
It's crazy.
Again, he's 5 for 5 in a game where they didn't throw that many passes. If they get into a shootout, how many catches... Like, what's Shakir's high target mark this year going to be? 14? It might.
Do you know what it was last year?
6?
It was 6.
Right.
Although, actually, I should scroll down. Playoffs, he had 9 targets against the Chiefs. So he did get 9 in the playoff game against the Chiefs. But regular season, it was 6.
He'll get double digits as soon as there's a game where they need it. They're going to keep going to him.
I think I agree with that.
So who emerges? Shakir, 5 targets, 5 for 5. All the other receivers, 1 completion to Curtis Samuel for 3 yards. I'm not mad about this. I'm just pointing out, like, you're seeing it happen. This is what it happens. It's not always forcing the ball. It's who does the quarterback trust? And he trusts, with good reason, Shakir.
Shakir's caught 21 straight targets. Going back to last year's Charger game, 21 straight targets.
That's pretty good.
Yep.
Kurt in Connecticut. Hey, Kurt, good morning. Welcome and happy Victory Friday.
Yeah, good morning, boys. Earlier you were talking about how can there be 6 Bills defensive players here and 7 over there. I'll tell you how. It's Bobby Babwich. He's over here cooking with Legavon and Hart of Hamler. The brew is right, boys. Double bubbled toil and trouble. Go Bills.
All right. Thanks, Kurt. Kurt. I'm so upset with myself for not having thought of Bobby Babwich.
That's good. Yeah.
That's good.
His witch rating. What do we got? The 7s, maybe? After that game last night?
The ability to transform backup players into starters.
Yep. 2 backup linebackers, a backup safety, backup nickel, backup ends a little bit. They rotate a lot there. It's so impressive.
Yep.
Should I be worried, though, for when they go play the Ravens and the Texans, if they're going to have Baylen Specter and Doran Williams out there on the field? Should I be a little concerned?
Of course. I mean, a lot of season left. The Dolphins have a good offense, we think, although this year they have put up totals of 20 and 10.
20 and 10.
It's not very good.
Yeah. Man, we are really, not to fast forward too much here, we are a Titans upset against the Jets on Sunday away from feeling like this division's going to be a cakewalk again, aren't we?
I'm already there. I'm already there.
Well.
I told you, I'm
almost there. I need to make sure the Jets are not, you know, as good as the preseason hype. And they played the Niners, so just let me see what they look like against a much lesser team.
What on earth are the Jets going to do against the Bills' pass rush?
Well, that's a good point.
What on earth is Aaron Rodgers going to do? The Bills' pass rush...
He can't move, really.
Vaughn's average pressure time...
It was 2.1 seconds.
The best it's been since 2021?
Yep.
A pass rush win rate by the way, when you're doing linemen... edge rushers against offensive tackles, pass rush win rate is do you win your assignment in less than 2.5 seconds. And Vaughn's average was 2.1.
Mm-hmm. I mean, 2.1.
Hey, he won. His average was winning every single snap.
I mean, it wasn't really hard to see. Like, it's the next gen stats. If you just watch that game, it was Von Miller is beating that dude instantly.
Yeah.
Like, the guy couldn't even touch him.
Spins to the inside.
Yep.
Runs to the outside.
It looked like Von reached out, grabbed his hands. Like, Austin Jackson was trying to get his hands on Von. Von reached out, grabbed his, like, forearms and, like, pushed them down. Like, he had the arsenal of moves out last night.
Doug in Lancaster next up on Victory Friday. Good morning, Doug.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I just wanted to say real quick, great defensive play. I did not expect that with Taron Johnson being out. I'm glad to see some of the young players playing. I think that's what we need. As great as I liked Poyer and Tre'Davious White, those guys were legends here, but they were getting old. It was time to move on to some young players, and Poyer proved that when he got burned by Cook the other day. He just lost a step. So I just think that keep these young players in the mix. Bishop had a nice breakup in the end zone, rookie safety. Yep. And, I mean, I think that's the only thing that I saw that I was disappointed yesterday, but maybe that was the flow of the game. No passes to Coleman or Matt Collins, but maybe that's the way the game was going.
Yeah, thanks, Doug. I think they each had one target in the books. Each credited
with one
have target.
One?
I think he did?
Okay.
I think so. I'll double check. I just had it up a minute ago.
Yes, you're right. He did. He had
because
one.
All the receivers not named Shakir were 1 for 6 on targets.
Yeah, Hollins had one, Valdes-Scantling had one, Coleman had one.
Yeah.
Samuel had two with one of them being
one
catch.
For 3 yards.
Yeah.
And one of those was the shot to the end zone for Curtis Samuel. They had him lined up in the backfield kind of off to the side.
He got matched up with a linebacker.
Yeah.
I think if Allen puts that ball to the corner, then Samuel might be by him. But the ball was a little bit more of like a, hey, you got to jump over him here to catch it. But, yeah, like, I don't know. The way the game went, they never needed it, right? Like, there was a whole half of football where just the passing attack was just unnecessary, it felt like.
Yeah, I don't know how many games they can win like that, but it's one that they didn't really need any. They didn't need outside receivers. There will be games that they do. This was not one of them. Kyle in Florida. Hey, Kyle, good morning.
Morning, gentlemen. Happy Football Friday.
For sure. Thanks, Kyle.
So I called a couple mornings ago and said we had a nice long conversation about McDermott, and so I got nothing except to call back and say the same thing now post-victory. The way that he continues, because I love that we're giving Babich his flowers too, but we got to remember that this guy's been able to plug and play players for the last however many seasons, right? 7-8 seasons in this defense. And so I loved, Jeremy, you opening up the way you did to all of us McDermott truthers out there to puff our chests out today. Listen, that's not to say he's not without his warts.
Sure.
You know, for the rest of us truthers out there, just saying, we're not idiots, but we got one here. We got a great thing. We have a staff who can evaluate talent, especially, I mean, I cannot believe the amount of talent that they find on the defensive side that they can continue to plug and play. So him and Bean are locked in, and it's just, it's really great. And it's also great silver lining. We already have our mini bye week. So, I mean, what a great time for us to be getting healthy, because clearly we do not want to be going through the season without Bernard or Taron Johnson or anything like that. But, man, it's a McDermott day for me, gents. Could not be more excited. Hope you all have an awesome weekend.
Thanks, Kyle. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like you said, McDermott's he's not above criticism. And anytime people call and want to talk about his job status, look, I'm happy to take that call and have that conversation. What I said earlier was, you know, you get to dunk on your narratives with your friends. We all have them. And if you have somebody that hates McDermott, today's the day to text them and let them know, like, the guy knows defense.
Mm-hmm.
It's the reason, you know, we have a bet on the bet board up there that he'll never have a bottom 10 defense. And it's not because you think they will. You just took the bet. But no matter what, their defense is always... I should knock on wood. It's a long season.
Yeah.
A lot of season left. They're up about to play Jacksonville, Baltimore, Houston. Like, the tests will keep coming. and the Rams and the Lions and the Chiefs, the Niners. It's going to be a season that really tests him and tests Bobby Babich. So
you got to be great at something, but they might be great on the pass rush. And that's going to help if you've got to replace all of these pieces back there. If Baylen Specter has to start for multiple games in a row, what's going to help that is if the defensive line in front of him is dominant.
Yeah. And the thing I would say about, again, as long as you have Josh Allen, you're in the game. If you have a defense that doesn't ever get you out of a game, aren't you going to win a lot of games? The whole idea is, especially this year, a year in transition, a year where, whatever, young players, new leadership. Keep me in the game, Sean and Bobby, and let Josh Allen go to work. That was last week. This week it was, relax, Josh. We got this one, right? Three turnovers, a pick six, drive starts inside the 40. Take a day off. Isn't your hands bothering you? Let Jamarcus Ingram take control of this game.
Yeah, that's got to make it, by the way, even more of a twist of the knife if you're the Dolphins this morning. Because it's been, man, we just can't beat Josh Allen. Josh Allen beats us every time, right?
Yeah.
But this dude just crushes us. Last night, you didn't lose to Josh Allen. You lost to the Bills. The Bills in a transition. They didn't need Josh Allen. You lost to their coaching and their defense and their run game and their offensive line.
Everything.
That's a special kind of hell, is that it wasn't even just the quarterback. The rest of it is what crushed us last
night.
Right.
If you're in Miami and you're a Miami fan today, don't you ask the question. Like, it's one thing to always have Josh Allen take our lunch money, but now it feels like Sean McDermott's doing it to Mike McDaniel on a regular basis.
Yeah. Yes.
That's tougher to take. Ken in Westfield. Hey, Ken, good morning.
Von is back and the defense is looking good and we're about to cook this season with that defense.
Let's hope. Thanks, Ken. The Von factor, the X factor, if we had said during the preseason 100 times, what if you get 50% of him? What if you get 60%?
Yeah.
Would you take 8 sacks? Would you take?
Yeah.
And what would you set?
No, usually that was around the number, like 6, 7, 8 sacks. I don't know if we ever been like, oh, would you take 12? Like, because that would be like, of course.
You think he'll get to 12, or would you say, if he stays healthy for the year, would you put him at 12 or higher?
He's got 2 through 2 games. He's on a 16 sack pace. He looks
great. And he doesn't
great.
Even play that much.
No, I'll have to find it. I think there was a point in the game yesterday in the first quarter, maybe late in the first quarter, where he had only played one snap. And, you know, when he really started going out there, like for every play, it's when the Dolphins got behind and they thought, okay, the Dolphins are going to be throwing a lot here. When they thought Dolphins are going to run a lot, that's when I was tweeting about Casey Tuhill being on the field. Casey Tuhill was on the field a ton early on because I think they thought the Dolphins were going to be running the ball a lot, and they were. And then, all right, they're throwing. Let's throw Von out there. He only had, I had the number on it a second ago. What was it, 14? He had 14 pass rushes. 4 pressures and 14 pass rushes. So he might play a lower snap count, but hey, if he's going to be out there for the passing plays, then he can get his numbers. I think he can get up there to double-digit sacks.
Yeah. Rob in Connecticut. Hey, Rob.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you doing? It was so nice to have James Cook have a nice little Buffalo fish fry because he cooked himself up. Everybody eats, baby. Everybody eats. You know what I'm saying? So anyways, listen, I was just so happy with the game plan, the execution on both sides of the ball. It was beautiful. And let's not forget the discipline. 1 penalty for 5 yards. That's discipline right there. I'm just enjoying it. I'm wearing my James Cook jersey right now. I'm going to walk around with my chest blowed up all day long, baby. All day long. Keep doing what you're doing, guys.
Thanks, Rob.
Thanks, Rob.
After the opener, I mentioned this yesterday, kind of, you know, joking around a little bit. I traded for James Cook in a dynasty league because I thought, well, if the Bills are going to run it a lot more,
yeah,
I want to get invested in them running it more. And that felt good last night, Joe.
Yeah.
Felt real good.
I don't have the numbers in front of me. That's got to be his best fantasy game of his career.
Yeah. Half.
Yeah.
And a half.
Is the best part of the Bills being good the last 5 years this matchup? Is it the best part? They just hammer this team over and over and over.
Yeah.
And the Dolphins, like, I see it on social media. I know I've heard Sal tell the stories, my dad tell the stories, whoever, like the Bills-Dolphins rivalry that goes back. It's a rivalry. And the fans go back and forth, and it's just every time. It's every time. 11-1 in the last 12. Like, it might be the most enjoyable part of the Bills being great in the last 5 years. Is this, at this twice a year, you're going to play the Dolphins, and you're going to feel awesome the next morning after the game.
I mean, aren't Bills every fans time. Asking themselves, is this what it was like for the Bills, like for the Patriots against the Bills? Is this what it was like?
See, I don't know if it was that good, though, because, you know, Twitter makes it different, too. Like, did the Patriots even get – the Bills were like a fly.
That's right. The Bills were never, hey, they could win the division this
right.
year.
Meanwhile, over here, it's like, what are they saying over there again? I guess they're being – they're favored against us? Like,
That never happened
in the Bills-Patriots
matchup. But you might have had, hey, we're 3-0 this year. We're coming for you. Yeah, womp.
Like, right,
usually,
exactly.
See you later. 803-0550, Paul in Buffalo before the next break. Hey, Paul, good morning.
Hey, guys. A question about the Bills and a prediction. The question is, does anyone miss Stephon Diggs right now, having seen the offense for 2 weeks? And the prediction is this. There is a New York team that's going to make a championship this year. It's going to be the New York Mets. They have something going with Lindor, and there's a case to be made for him as the NL MVP. Fellas, have a great Friday.
Thank you. Careful about winning without a player contributing, because the Bills are now 6 games away from trading Dalton Kincaid. He's not putting up big numbers. I don't think, listen, some of you want to make every single point about the Bills, about Diggs, which I think Herb Street did that a couple times yesterday. I guess you're free to do so. But their receivers, they didn't need them. There will be games, I think they do.
Mm-hmm.
They just haven't happened yet. Definitely didn't happen last night. Mac Hollins, Curtis Samuel, MVS, Keon Coleman, 1 catch.
Yep.
You didn't need them. That was also in a half of a game. But if they needed 56 points, maybe Josh Allen would have delivered 56 points.
Yeah. Talk to me after the Houston game, because I think the Bills will need receivers in that game, and Diggs will be on the other side of the field.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
We'll see what he does. I think they're still going to need to be whatever. I think they're going to need their receivers this year.
Yeah.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. More of your phone calls when we return. Sal's going to join us coming up at 9 o'clock. We're back in a snap. That's brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.
Looking over the middle, pressure coming, has to heave it, and it's intercepted. Coming the other way, and going for 6 is Jamarcus Ingram. A 30-yard interception return for a touchdown. Tua's third pick of the night.
We'll make that the play of the game. Yeah, Jamarcus Ingram, pick 6. Who's the last pick 6 the Bills had?
Ooh.
You have it top of mind?
Their last pick 6. Micah Hyde had one against the Chiefs a few years ago. But that's way long ago.
It might be the last one, but that's a long time ago. Highlights of the game brought to you by Northland Workforce Training Center. Train for what's next.
That's a good question. Did A.J. Epinesa have one, maybe?
He did, last year against Washington, week 3.
Yep, there you go.
Is that the most recent one? All right.
A.J. Epinesa. So.
Unless there was one later in the season.
I'll double check, but I don't remember one later in the year. So I think I would bet that Epinesa one is correct.
803-0550. Thinking about Tua today, of course.
Yeah, man.
It's going to be a couple days of this. It's not only that it happened, it happened in a primetime window again.
Yeah, the last one was Thursday Night Football also, I think. Right. The Bengal one,
and,
at least.
You know, I hope Bills fans aren't sensitive to the Bills aren't getting enough attention paid to them. They dominate the Dolphins, and it's all about Tua. I mean, you know, this is a big deal. It's a big deal. It's not just any player getting knocked out with a concussion. It was a year-long story.
And it was another one of them where he's on the field, the fencing response.
Yeah.
The visual of the fencing response, I think, doesn't make the concussion more severe than anybody else's concussion, but it makes it hit harder.
Yeah, because we've seen it before, and we put it this way. You know the name of it. You've seen it enough.
Right, I didn't know what it was last time.
And you've seen it from him, and you know it's called the fencer's response or the fencing. Like, we know that. It's the kind of thing that you wish you didn't have to know, but you kind of do.
And I feel like the players did, too, because he's down like that, and
Dolphins
it was
on a knee immediately.
Instant. The Bills players and the Dolphins players like immediately went down to a knee because I think everybody knows the history. Everybody probably saw that play against Cincinnati 2 years ago that was scary. So, yeah.
One quick thing before we get to calls. So during the game, again, like it's a full on national broadcast. Everyone's watching it, and our buddy Andrew Filippone in Pittsburgh tweets that when he sees Josh Allen, he thinks of a poor man's Ben Roethlisberger. I don't think he was attempting to be insulting. I responded with, Josh Allen's better than Ben Roethlisberger ever was. And that's not, let me ask you honestly. I don't know if Pittsburgh has found me saying that yet. That's not controversial, right? I mean, I watched Ben Roethlisberger play.
Oh, it's going to be controversial.
Is it? Josh Allen's better than Ben Roethlisberger ever was.
I agree with you.
I mean, he doesn't have the Super Bowls.
That's the thing.
But
he has two Super Bowls. That's what's going to make it controversial.
Okay. Isn't he better than Ben?
I think he's better than Ben Roethlisberger was. Ben Roethlisberger was great. I'm trying to forget a little bit how bad he was at the end.
He
Prime
was great.
Ben Roethlisberger was great. But was he? No. No. Allen's better. I think Allen's better.
Roethlisberger in his first season won 13 consecutive games. 13-0.
Yeah.
You know what he threw for in those games? He threw 17 touchdowns in 13 games.
Game manager.
Yeah.
Then year two, he won the Super Bowl?
Year two.
Yeah, like what's his biggest statistical season? Does he have like a 5,000-yard passing season?
He has one, yes, at age 36, but that's because he threw the ball 675 times.
That's wild. Did he ever win MVP? I don't think he ever won MVP.
He did not. In fact, I think he...
Did he ever finish close?
He's never even first team all pro, although that's tough because, you know, you got Brady and Manning.
But wait a minute. Like, that's the Allen point, though.
Right.
Mahomes. You had Brady and Manning. I feel like Allen is one of the Brady or Manning.
That's right.
So I would make that point about Herbert or about, you know, is there a better name? Lamar Jackson's won MVPs. Tua, whatever. An AFC quarterback that's really good, great even, that, like, oh, he's great, but man, he played in the same conference as Mahomes and Allen did.
Yeah, he's tough.
Roethlisberger was the third guy.
He was tough as nails. He was
tough, and he was the Steeler quarterback, and he won a lot, and he won Super Bowls. He was great, but yeah, like.
But Josh is better.
Yeah, I do think it's going to be. I do think it's gonna be controversial.
You think when Pittsburgh gets a hold of that tweet, they're coming for me?
Yeah, Pittsburgh's right. Gonna do the ring counting. I think the second that they discover
they're allowed to talk to me when their offense gets a touchdown this year.
Roethlisberger, by the way, his third season, he had 18 touchdowns and 23 interceptions.
Right, the different era. It is a little bit of that. Dan in Pittsburgh. Hey Dan. Hey Dan. Morning.
Hey, I'm a Bills fan. This all kind of happened while I was on hold, but I actually was like doing my morning Twitter scroll and saw Pony's tweet and laughed out loud at your response because it's something me and my friends go at each other for all the time. I mean, they're not even remotely close. I mean, Ben was good, but Allen
was great. He was great, but right.
Exactly. Allen's just an athletic freak compared to him. It's two completely different players. But I didn't even want to talk about that. I'm just happy that the McDermott haters are drowning in their own tears today.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
It's pretty clear that the football gods don't want us to have nice things at middle linebacker. It's like ridiculous how these guys are just dropping like flies, but it's so impressive to see how they're able to just next man up, go and go. It was a great game last night. The one problem, I guess, like the one complaint I have, and hand up, I'm watching the game on my couch while Joe Brady's scoring 31 points in the NFL. But all these like second and short runs just kind of drive me crazy because I feel like it's the perfect time to kind of take a shot. And if we're second and one, if we don't hit our shot play, Josh Allen's going to get a first down on third and one, fourth and one. It's basically guaranteed. So I feel like we're almost kind of wasting a play there. And that's really my only complaint about the game. And honestly, I just feel so bad for Tua. It really made a 20-plus point win against the Dolphins almost deflating because he's just a great, great human being. And he played great last year, earned all his guarantees. So I feel like no one can blame him if he decides to to hang it up, because if I was his family member, I would not want him playing football again. Great quarterback, great guy, but it just sucks to see.
Yep. Thanks, Dan. Yeah, I mean, there's the black cloud hanging over Miami right now that is not only can't beat the Bills, starting quarterback is out, but it's not, you know, he tore a bicep. It's not ACL. These are injuries that guys can come back from. This is maybe he should never play again by choice. Maybe he should have already chosen to do that.
And part of that, by the way, is this might, you know, this is already going to be a thing with him. What is his quality of living going to be when he's, you know, in his 50s and 60s? If he's had, how many? He's had 4 documented concussions. If he's had 10 concussions and 3 of them were that bad that everyone could see it when it happened, just there's a quality of living point to be made here about Tua, which is why he would make the decision, right? Like if he decides, like, I'm going to walk away, I can't believe anybody's going to blame him for it.
Tyler, go ahead.
By the way, were we wrong on what the last pick six was?
Rasul Douglas against the Patriots.
Yes, there was one against the Patriots with Bailey Zappe. They're also, their last pick six, they had one against Tua before. Former All-Pro corner for the Bills. Caught a pick six against Tua. Who was it?
I don't know.
Is it Josh Norman?
Josh Norman.
Okay, Josh Norman.
Josh Norman had a pick six against Tua a couple years ago.
On the Brady point, I fully anticipate. Like, listen, today's the day, it's Victory Friday, to fly high, and I'll probably even up my expectations for this team because of how good this defense has been, can be. I do anticipate struggles / arguments about that, about second down, second and short runs. I do anticipate still wondering about the guys on the outside. Curtis Samuel, who's down on the depth chart. Maybe they're still bringing him along slowly, but he did not get a lot of snaps. He got 7 snaps. It's not a lot. The Bills did play 1 tight end a lot of the first half, only Kincaid or Knox. But right now the offense is Shakir and Kincaid, which is what we knew it was going to be. And the other auxiliary piece is, you know, you're getting some contributions. Last night they didn't need to. So it's very important to say they didn't need to. They couldn't get the ball to the outside to a receiver. And I hope that's not a problem going forward. I hope that we're not in a playoff game here talking about second and one, second and short runs when they could use some explosive plays. They got their explosives yesterday. And, you know, the second and one is conservative. They're playing a style of ball protection football that is working. Will it always work? No. And then that's when, you know, we'll be ready to see what else they can do. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Break time. Mo, Mark, Dan, we'll keep buzzing phone calls. Sal's joining us at 9. Of course, the team, everybody got back pretty late last night, so we let Sal sleep a little bit longer. It is Victory Friday on WGR. Jeremy and Joe, give us a ring.
Tua back to pass, looking deep down the right sideline. He overshot it, and it's intercepted. Picked off by Christian Benford. He overshot the intended receiver and had all time in the pocket. He just misfired, Eric. A costly INT. The second in 3 possessions for Tua.
Again, next man up. The guys did a great job. Bail Inspector knew the game plan, prepared like he was going to start, and the results are the results. And then Jamarcus comes in again, gets another big play for us, and that's great to see. And these guys work hard, you know, so good things happen when you work hard, and sometimes the ball finds you like that. And again, it was a good team win. So all 3 phases, it's not about one person, but again, all 3 phases factored in the win, which is good to see.
All 3 phases. When special teams? Did special teams?
Did they do anything on special teams? Did they punt?
They kicked off a couple times.
Okay. There was at least 1 punt in this game, right? I'm going to be on the field at Highmark Stadium today.
Ah. What for?
Yoga.
Oh, congrats.
I'm doing yoga on the field at Highmark Stadium today.
It's going to be steamy out there.
Yeah. It'll be like sunset time. So that'll still be pretty warm, right?
Sunset yoga at Highmark.
Sunset yoga at Highmark Stadium. Hey, that's it. That's all I got on it.
All right.
It'll be fun, I think.
Sure. Hey, the Miami Dolphins' Argyle end zones are good. When they do that look,
yeah.
It's a good end zone.
Don't they only do it when they do throwbacks?
I think so. Get some calls in here. 803-0550. Bills 31-10 over the Dolphins. Blowout. Blowout. I mean, could have been worse. A full half of just saying, see you later.
Yeah, the over-under. Some other people were complaining about this on Twitter. The over-under was 48.5.
Yeah, a touchdown there would have done some work.
It was 41 with 9 minutes to go in the third quarter, and there wasn't another point scored, and the under cashed.
Al Michaels, one of the things he actually was paying attention to was the over-under. He mentioned this game's out of reach, but there are some people that might have some things invested in this as the Dolphins got down close. Game one of the season for Al.
He sounded real bored.
I mean, it's
he's talking about the moon and even the farm. Like, he's like, oh, guys, we're showing you a farm. That's what type of game this is.
It's pretty incredible. Jeez. I think that Amazon has such a good actual studio show, technology, everything.
Yeah.
And the broadcast itself is rough.
The booth is terrible.
The booth is rough.
I like the next-gen StatsCast, too. Yep, everything they provide, but they got to get... In 2 years, they should have a brand new booth, right?
I mean,
if they're going to still have Thursday Night Football like a couple years from now, maybe next year.
How about 2 weeks? Mo in New Jersey. Hey, Mo.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Good.
It's always good to play twice in 1 week on a victory, after a victory. Obviously, first thing, feel bad for Tua. I actually do like him. I hate that he played for the Dolphins, but I always liked the type of guy he was. And you just hate to see something like that happen, but hopefully he can recover and do whatever he has to do for his career. But from the Bills standpoint, I'm one of those guys that I still don't think Sean McDermott is the guy that's going to take us to the promised land, right? But after a game like last night, it's hard for me to have any legs to stand on. Him and his defense, and obviously give credit to Babish too because he called the plays, but they did such a phenomenal job of containing that Miami offense. It's like a masterclass, and to see especially Von Miller get back to what kind of the form he was at a couple of years ago before he got injured. I'd love to see things like that, and hate to see Terrell Bernard get hurt. I'm glad Daniel Spector was able to step in, but I just hope it's not a long term injury because near effect full injuries, those are never good. But again, credit to the defense, credit to the team as a whole, and more importantly, credit to Sean McDermott. He got the job done last night.
Yep. Yeah, thanks. So I think, Mo, the natural thing to note regarding McDermott, you probably have fans that think he is a good coach, but like you said, might not take the Bills to the promised land. What he needs next, what he really needs, I mean, the season's going to go the way that it goes. I think a lot of us expect the Bills to make the playoffs. What the McDermott doubters need is a defensive performance like that in the playoffs against a Mahomes or Houston, Baltimore, another signature defensive performance. Mm-hmm. The defensive performance they had, if they had Milano and Bernard and Taron Johnson in, we'd say great defensive performance. To be down all three of them
mm-hmm.
with new safeties, because Mike Edwards is probably supposed to be a starter for you, and he's not. And Cole Bishop, you're not even playing him. Like, the Bills are using their depth defense. This would be a defense you'd roll out in a preseason game and say, like, let's get a look at some of these guys with, of course, your starting off or defensive line.
Yeah.
What McDermott needs to do to silence the, finger quotes, haters, doubters, whatever you want to say, the people that criticize him fairly, is he needs to do exactly what they did there in the playoffs. That's that.
Yep.
You play Joe Burrow and the Bengals, you can't lose by 17, giving up 27 points, having no answers. Got to find a way. The playoffs are a long way away, but I think that's really it for McDermott. Got to do it there. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. It is Buffalo Bills Victory Friday, Football Friday. And Football Friday is presented by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, start your day the Crosby's way. Open segment, your calls. Let's do it next.
Back to pass, rolls out to his right, looking downfield, finds Ty Johnson complete at the 4, and he's tackled at the 1 yard line by Jalen Ramsey. Allen bought as much time as he could. Ty Johnson sprung free late and he hit him.